You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com. And streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's The Newsroom After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's The Newsroom After Show.
And there it is. Hello, everyone. A Bing is for doing, and we're doing it big here with another AfterBuzz After Show for The Newsroom. We are in Season 1, Episode 6. This one's called Bullies. And it was a really, really big episode for Sloan tonight. My name is Kelly, and I am joined by...
I'm Kristen.
I'm Kendra.
And we have a very special guest with us tonight, another big Newsroom fan.
Huge. I am Alicia Minchu.
And you may recognize her from All My Children. And she's got some great projects coming up, so we're going to get into that later. But let's talk about Sloan.
Let's discuss. Yes. You guys, honestly, I love her.
She's great.
I love her because she has balls.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. She, especially, I was writing down when she stood up to Charlie and just sort of had that moment of when they were just they were fighting, and she was, I think she said, "Don't call me ma'am.
Don't call me girl.
No, don't call me girl." And I just, that whole moment, I was like, yeah, go tell them. I loved it. I loved her. I love her spunk.
Well, I think what's so great, because if you're familiar with, you know, Sloan is played by Olivia Munn, and she kind of, this character, we talk about this every week, is like the female characters on this show are really getting kind of smashed in the media. People are talking about how, you know, anti-feminist these characters are.
Right.
And I think this is such a great episode for her because she also gets to bring some of her personal life into this, because I don't know if you guys remember her. She first started out, I think she was a contributor on the Jon Stewart show.
Was she?
And he got a lot of flack for hiring her, and they thought that she was unqualified, and he hired her just based on her looks.
Right.
So she's kind of dealt with this same thing personally in the beginning when her character was in, when Mackenzie wanted to utilize her character for her legs.
Yes.
It's the same kind of thing. Not only was she qualified, she's also, you know, super sexy.
Awesome.
And that's the greatest thing that, you know, yes, these characters can be girly girl and have their moments and their ditzy moments, you know, whatever, but everybody does. And I really liked this episode showcasing her character because it showed her strength, and she's not scared, and she is smart.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I loved about it.
And the Japanese.
Yeah, that
I mean,
was great.
Right?
That was amazing.
When she went into it, I'm like, you go, girl. Mm-hmm. Like you do it. Mm-hmm. And it was real, and it just made her more human to me, I think, more stronger and just more human.
Absolutely, because it starts out when they're in this boardroom, we don't really know what they're talking about.
Right.
You know, she's on speakerphone with someone just speaking Japanese, right, and everybody's just kind of like, what's going on? And we find out she's having a conversation about the, you know, Japanese company TEPCO. And, you know, they're talking about, you know, a radiation leak that, you know, might be happening there, right, in Japan, and like the level of security. So that, you know, it's a contact of hers that she's known for years.
Right.
So they're catching up, talking about his daughter being, you know, playing sports,
right,
and, you know, whatever. So when she finally gets down to it about the reactors and all of that, you know, when everyone's in the room, he gives her, you know, the spokesperson for TEPCO gives her the PC version, like the okay for media version. It's going to, you know, it's leaking. We're working on it. Shouldn't go past level 5.
Right.
She clears the room and utilizes a contact the way any self-respecting journalist would. You try to get your story however you can get it.
Right.
But she says those words off the record.
Right.
And that's when it becomes an ethical problem. Because we're talking about off the record, and off the record, being a longtime friend of hers, he divulges this is a lot more serious than what he's allowed to say.
Right.
So what does she do with it? She goes to Will and asks for advice.
Right.
You know, what do I do with this?
Right.
And, you know, what do you think about his pep talk? I say that word in quotes because it wasn't necessarily a big pep talk.
Well, it was bad timing because he wasn't in the mood, I think, to give the proper, you know, the PC pep talk.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so she kind of ran with that. And I think she got, you know, excited and we saw what happened.
I didn't mind too much of the pep talk. I mean, it was a little harsh, but I think she needed that kick to go, but then she took it too far. I think that was more of the problem, especially when you have Don in your ear going, don't go rogue on me. And she just turns him off. And that is the worst thing to do when it's your first time out there. And although we saw a little bit of compassion from Don later on, they've been really, I'm a gym girl.
I know, I like Jim too.
But I kind of liked him a little bit more in this episode. He goes,
I did too.
You got 10 seconds. You know, we've all done this before, but what happens in 10 seconds?
Right, yeah.
And then we saw Charlie go at it, which we hardly ever see.
Right. Well, not like that. You know, we've seen him get a little crazy, but not necessarily to the staffers.
We've seen him get crazy with Will.
Uh-huh.
With her, it was like, that's why I loved when she stood up to him and she was like, don't call me ma'am. And just that whole moment. Uh-huh. But when you were talking about Don, I he was more human tonight. And I kind of was like, I think I like him.
Yeah. Well, right? I was like, what is going on?
We're finally starting to see this character round out.
Yeah.
And I like that too, because I felt the same thing. He, you know, was definitely a little bit more compassionate, you know.
Absolutely.
And he understood what she was doing, I think. Mm-hmm. But because she doesn't do this type of news, she's never been in that position. And she was dealing with a major story.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, all of you know, when it comes to, you know, this part of the business, and when you're talking to a contact and there's this level of trust that you ethically should not break.
Right.
You know, it happens, you know, whatever. But, you know, as a publicist, you know, when I'm talking to news reporters and they're asking me questions, and it's really hard to go in circles, and they know that you're going in circles,
right,
and they know that you're BSing them.
Right.
And then they say those, you know, magic words off the record.
Right.
What can you tell me?
Right.
And then depending on what your relationship is, and we saw she obviously had a great relationship with this person where he felt comfortable enough to say that. And then she totally threw that out the window.
Yeah.
And that's a major, major issue for her professionally and personally with this relationship.
Right, right. I have to say, when they showed Don in the, room.
Yeah, the control room.
And when she started talking Japanese, and he was like, his reaction was genius, because we're all thinking the same thing. We're all like, what is she doing?
Yes.
And it's moments like that where he's funny, and you start to kind of just, there's something kind of like dickhead but charming about him.
Exactly.
And you can't help but start to kind of like him, because there's just something kind of funny about him.
Yeah.
I think.
His facial expression was the best. His eyes were like popping out of his
head.
All of us
laughed at the same time.
Yeah.
It was a great moment.
So we find out that she, the thing that I liked most about it was when she was, you know, going after the translator and say, can you please translate what I'm asking you to say?
Right.
Say it word for word and say exactly what I'm saying now so this person knows you're misrepresenting him.
Right.
And she put the translator on the spot. And, when you're dealing with, as a viewer, you're dealing with a language you don't understand, you expect the translator to translate and not put their own spin on things.
Right.
So there was obviously something that they were trying to cover up. And I think she was taking Will's advice a little bit too literally, because she's just not seasoned enough to be able to deal with guests the way that he does.
Mm-hmm.
So she just, went after it and was like, fine, forget it. And she goes off on her Japanese and then she just... You know, it sounded like she was putting words in his mouth from the average person, even though we find out later that's not.
And that's where it's not really her fault completely, because she didn't ask to be put,
as
the anchor of that night. She was like, are you sure? She asked so many people, but they were like, yeah, do it.
Yeah.
You're our fourth choice, but just do it.
Right.
And then we find out Will suggested her, and she's like, do you really think I could do this? And he's like, no, I have no idea, but we'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah.
And...
But then he gave her that inspiration. Well, I'm calling it an inspirational talk.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell when she was walking out the door, when she's like, I got it, that you knew she was going to do something.
You're right.
Like, okay, she's going to do something in a really big way, and she's going to take what he said, and she's going to run with it.
Right, because what he told her is don't let somebody lie on your airtime.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He says, I see you do that all the time during your show, and you just move on. You let him get away with it. Don't do that.
Right.
You know, and this episode was so great because a lot of the criticisms that the show has been getting is that this news team is always perfect all the time, can't always be right. And we got to see how they messed up too.
Right.
And everything that they're going after, they kind of have to, you know, eat a piece of humble pie tonight because, you know, they made a huge mistake that they in turn have to fix because it's, you know, reputations. There's three reputations at stake here. There's the Japanese man, there's and his honor and stuff with his country. Mm-hmm. There's Sloane's journalist reputation of, you know, having contacts and sources. And then there's the station.
The network.
The network itself. Yeah. So there's a lot to consider when you decide to go rogue and you really want to get the truth.
Right, right.
You know, you can be hell-bent, but there's a way to go about it.
Right.
And that's still where we're going to hopefully see her character grow and have to learn from that.
But, yeah. So what do you guys think would have happened had she not had to apologize, well, lie and apologize?
That's a good question.
Well, she would have been, you know, fired, I think. Well, or I don't know.
Because she turned out to be right.
She was right.
They were trying to protect the honor of this man.
And also, I think, and it's a little bit more than that, too, because it's also about her. Mm-hmm. And that's the truth. I mean, I work with journalists all the time. And if there's somebody that you can't trust, I won't answer my phone anymore when they want something from me. Right. And I've had situations like that where, you know, somebody will call me with something and I'll, you know, have to, you know, say, okay, this is what I can tell you that you can go with. Mm-hmm. But here, off the record, I can tell you this and tell you that you can use, you know, this situation later, and you build these relationships. Mm-hmm. Well, once they you know, dive, you know, that trust is gone, I seriously don't answer my phone anymore. Don't call me for anything.
And if they apologize?
You know, doesn't matter. Because you can't.
It's still in your brain.
Right. Yeah. And it affects so much more than just you. Mm-hmm. I mean, she just announced this to the world. Mm-hmm. And especially in this day and age with the internet, it just went everywhere. Right.
Well, and she had no proof to back it up
anywhere.
And that's the other problem is you just have her calling her out with, well, he said this on the phone, and you can't back it up. And Charlie even said, we have to look after all the other stories that you did. Were those true as well? Mm-hmm. And that gets to be a huge problem for a journalist. That's one of the first things that you learn is you don't reveal your sources no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you know, and he had a point when Charlie was yelling at her, you're going, you know what? He's right. He's right. Like, how do they know that she hasn't done this about, you know, as much as you want? You're like, yay for Sloane. Mm-hmm. How do they know that she hasn't done this with something else?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So they both made such good points. Like, they had such strong points of view. Mm-hmm. So you're almost kind of rooting for them both. You're like, yeah, oh, right. Yeah.
Right.
It was great to watch.
Because it does. Yeah. It begs that question. Like, when you're I mean, this is people's lives at stake. And I think that's why she felt so passionate about it.
Right.
But at the same time, you still have an obligation to the people that you're trying to protect. You can't send them into a frenzy when you can't even, you know, even though we find out she did turn out to be right. But that credibility, I mean, it sucks, but that's just kind of the way that it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, and her having to go and lie and apologize with that little technicality about the two words sounding the same. Mm-hmm. Having to swallow your pride for something like that is not easy.
Ooh, that would be rough.
I know.
And
if you know that you're right, you know. Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to. Yeah, and I think it showed the depth of the situation when she asked Will, do you want me to lie? You know, with the ACN logo in the corner of the screen. And he said, yeah.
I like their relationship very much in this episode, too. Yeah. I like that he's become, well, kind of her Yoda.
Right. Yeah.
She seeks answers from him.
Yes. Yeah.
That's funny.
I like it, too. He's like the mentor,
Sort
of, but with a brotherly, sisterly kind of maybe thing.
Right.
I don't know about that, but I love how there's a like respect for each other.
Absolutely. And he knows that she's smart, and he knows that she has potential, and he knows that he might have scared her a little bit into doing what she did.
Right.
And I think that, you know, he is aware of that, hence the reason why he has to suck it up too and say, yes, unfortunately, in this instance, you know, I need you to do this.
Right.
Because it takes care of so many things all at once.
Yeah,
just one little mistake, just you're fluent in Japanese, but maybe you haven't spoken it in a while, you know. And it's, as a, you know, as a young, especially as a female, try, you know, with what she's trying to do. And, you know, we saw her passion for it. Don't call me girl.
Right.
She doesn't want to have to suck this up and say I was wrong.
Right.
Even because she absolutely wasn't. She just went about it in the wrong way.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's the tough lesson, is to be able to know that you're right, but know that you did it. You took the wrong steps.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's hard.
It was a cool moment, though, when she you could tell she was like filled with emotion when she said, you're asking me to lie. And then he just took a pause and said, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it was just because, you know, earlier in the show, he was saying, don't lie. And I always see, you know, you're lying. And now he's just like, yes. Mm-hmm. It was just such a cool moment, you know, of between the two of them. Just that brief moment. You're like, wow.
Because he had to admit, we messed up. This is our mess up. Mm-hmm. It's not just you. And he tells her, I'll always be standing beside you and in front of you. It's not you messed up. You have to do this. He says, we.
Right.
And again, that goes back to what we saw in the last episode, too, where he really is protective of his staff.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't really like it when people are afraid of him because that's not his intention.
Right.
He just is on a mission to civilize everybody.
As he said at the very beginning. Right. Yeah. He's actually nurturing. He's actually more nurturing.
Do that and single-handedly fix the internet.
Yeah, speaking of the internet, one of the greatest things that we have here at AfterBuzz TV is we give you the option to be able to shop online through our website. So you can go to AfterBuzzTV.com and click on our Amazon banner and do all of your online shopping through our site. It doesn't cost you anything extra. It's just one extra click, and we get a little kickback from it. So that way that AfterBuzz is here to be able to continue to do these great after shows that we are able to do here. So please go to AfterBuzzTV.com, click on the Amazon banner, and help us out. We really appreciate it. So that brings us in to Will and his, you know, he's getting death threats.
I know.
He has been a strong character, but in this episode, we really saw that bully come out in him.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, it was really hard for me to watch that, that whole exchange with Rick Santorum's, you know, advisor.
It was emotional.
It was very emotional.
Mm-hmm. Who's the guy, do you know the guy who played Rick Santorum's...
who played...
the actor?
Wall. Yeah, the actor or the character. What was the character's name? Or
Wall Shelton?
Was that it?
Excuse me.
I don't know, but he was amazing.
Fantastic.
Amazing.
Yes.
He held his ground against Will. Mm-hmm. And for once, I found... I'm always rooting for Will, but for once, in that moment, I was kind of rooting for the other guy towards the end to just speak his mind, and I was like, listen to him when he said, no, you let me talk.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I was like, yeah, just because you wanted to hear his point of view.
Right, exactly.
And he said it, that actor was, he just kudos to him because I was just sitting there, just my jaw was on the floor, and I was like he moved me emotionally.
Yeah, he was really great.
I was just going, this guy is brilliant. I mean, yay for Aaron Sorkin, first of all. I mean,
right.
The writing's awesome, but it was such a great moment for him to put Will in his place in that, just in that second. Yeah. And whoever the actor was, we'll find out.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah, it felt real.
It did not feel like I was watching an actor.
No.
I felt like I was watching real footage, and that's why it disturbed me. I was like, oh my God, he's right.
Because sometimes they use real footage, too, and it just did not skip a beat.
No. It was great.
And, you know, especially what they were discussing it's a really, really hot and sensitive topic because, you know, I understand where Will was coming from on his line of questioning because, you know, from where he's sitting, how can you get 100% behind someone that doesn't have respect for who you are?
Of course.
Because, you know, the whole topic of gay marriage is so sensitive. And this is set back in 2011.
At the
beginning of 2011. Right. And it just continues, you know, even more.
Yeah.
It's the fact that it is still such a sensitive topic is, you know, beyond me.
Crazy.
But it's just, you know, the way that he, even when he comes back and is like, you will listen to me, and the way that he ends that, you know, this man is a teacher at Temple University, and he's like, does Rick Santorum believe that you are fit to be a teacher? And he says, no.
I know.
And that's terrible. He's 100% behind this man that doesn't even respect him as a person. Yeah. That I think is why he was bullying down. How can you do it? How can you be behind somebody that doesn't even let you be you?
Right.
How do you justify that?
Right.
And that's what was... It was just amazing how intense that whole exchange was.
I feel like whenever Will is bullying, it's always for the best reason in the world, mm-hmm. and he's always right, mm-hmm. and he's always making a point for the equality of people and humans, and mm-hmm. and you're always like, yeah, like he says what everybody else is thinking, mm-hmm. so. In a sense, he's bullying because he's just trying to fight for people's rights. Mm-hmm. But in this instance, it was just great to kind of see the other guy counter that.
Right. And it was. And it was. It really made me kind of tear up a little bit when that man said to him, you know, how dare you tell me what I'm supposed to need help? You know, I don't need your help. I don't need your protection. Who are you to tell me what I am supposed to feel bad for, fight for, you know, whatever for? You don't have the right to do that as a person.
And that's, he said, to, you know, just characterize me in two specific categories. There's mm-hmm. a lot more, and that's why I back this particular candidate, because I'm not just, you know, gay and black. I'm a lot more than that.
And he, you know, and he says, out of all the candidates, and you know, this is my best choice. And that makes you have to stop and think. And I think that mm-hmm. that line, when he said that, for me, I thought was such fantastic writing, because it makes you stop and think. Mm-hmm. If this character is, you know, black and gay and is standing 100% behind a politician, a representative that's running for president,
right,
that completely doesn't think that he's fit to be, you know, he's less of a man.
Right.
And that's the best that we have in the pool. What does that have to say about our society?
Scary.
It's very scary.
Very scary.
And that doesn't matter what political party that you're with. Mm-hmm. If that is the best that mm-hmm. we have,
I think that's maybe some of the points of his writing is to sort of show this is what we're dealing with. Mm-hmm. Look at this. Yep. Wowzers.
It's very scary.
Yeah.
Hence the reason Will needs to go to therapy.
Yeah. You know what? Good for Will, because I think we could all, anybody in Will's position needs therapy a few times a week. And then some.
Well, it's good that he's gone back. Yeah. It was, what, 4 years?
Yeah.
He's still paying for it. Right. Or he doesn't, but he has somebody who
his business partner, or his business advisor.
Right.
But I love, you know, I like Dave Crumholtz anyway, the actor that plays the doctor.
Me too.
I think he's funny.
He is funny.
But the way that he kind of tricks him into having a session, I thought was great. Yes. He just dangles that prescription.
And gets him to just open up.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think Will kind of got, though, that he was being tricked. He goes, how many times have you watched Good Will Hunting?
Yeah.
He knew, but he wanted to talk.
Yeah.
Right.
He needed somebody to push him, but make him feel like it's his idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly.
And we learned a lot about Will's background in this episode.
First time.
You know, for the first time, we find out that he came from an abusive family.
Mm-hmm. Alcoholic father.
And he had to start protecting his family in mm-hmm. fifth grade. That's what, 10?
One brother, two mm-hmm. sisters, and his mom.
Yeah, that's, you know, and I think that, you know, builds up for his protective, but also his harshness.
Right.
And why he's not always so rosy and sweet and nice is mm-hmm. because he didn't necessarily have, you know, any kind of role model or anything like that. And I think that might be one of the reasons why he fights so hard for the truth, mm-hmm. because he probably had to watch so many, you know, lies and misrepresentations in his house of why things were happening the way that they were.
And maybe why he covers up so much, mm-hmm. too. Mm-hmm. Just hiding his feelings mm-hmm. with witty sarcasm, because that's defensive. Just mm-hmm. that's a way to protect yourself, is to just sort of hide with the witty sarcasm, hide how you're feeling, because you really have so much going on. You just have to hide it with wittiness and humor, and that's definitely opens up your eyes to who his character is. Mm-hmm. It makes you feel for him more.
Yeah. It's and I like how in Aaron Sorkin always does this, where he puts you in the present and takes you back.
Yes.
And it's a little bit confusing in the beginning, but it's so
it's great.
You know, Social Network, so everything.
Completely.
You know, where it goes back and forth.
At the bottom,
so. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Right. You're like, oh wait, he's in the office. Oh wait, right. we're going back to that again. Because, oh wait, did that just happen?
Yeah, with Terry Crews.
Yes. Uh-huh.
The bodyguard.
Yeah, the bodyguard. I was like, didn't we just see him?
I know.
Yeah.
I was like, did we miss an episode?
Yeah.
But no.
His name was Lenny, right?
Or Lonnie.
Lonnie Church.
Yeah, Lonnie. Right. I happen to love him as well.
Oh, he's awesome, and their chemistry together is great.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in true Aaron Sorkin style, we're jumping back and forth,
right.
and
right.
you know, but he always explains. That's one thing I do like, is he goes into a thing and then he takes you back visually to explain what he's talking about, so you get to see what went on.
So you're never lost. That's the thing. Like, even though there's so much going on, and there's just so many people and things and quick talking and banter, I feel like you're never lost. You may be lost for a second, but then you catch up, and then you know everything that happened, because he covers his ground.
Exactly.
And then you're left with I'm left with a fulfilled feeling of, like, I know everything that happened, and it was awesome.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. So we find out that Will has this thing that he's implemented into his news broadcast where he's reading comments, fan comments on air.
Right.
And the ones that he reads, the screen names are really funny. Lollipop. And Surrender Dorothy. Was that the second one?
Yes.
And, you know, the comments, he's not really happy with, you know, the type of comments that he's getting. So he wants to find out if there's a way to restrict them. You know, he wants to know your name, your age, your address, where your education. He wants to know it all. So they so they implement this new screening process on his site to leave comments. And, you know, 3 days in, somebody's either hacked into it or, you know, he's got a real live death threat going on. So it's, you know, the network assigns him a bodyguard. And that's where we get to meet Lonnie. Lonnie comes in and is like, I know you like being the boss, but not anymore. Sorry.
I love when they throw in characters like that. Yeah. Uh-huh. You just want to see more of them. You want to see their interaction with Will. Mm-hmm. What did he say? Go read Vegan Times or something like that. Just those little comments are just like very Sorkin.
Yeah. 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 Right? Yeah.
Like, I'm, you know, I'm single. What about a date? He goes, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's a little too soon.
Yeah.
But yeah, but now Will has to have this person follow him around. And that actually might help with some of the stuff that they've had to go through with Nina. They got a bodyguard there as well. Maybe it'll...
Oh, right. With some of the tabloid. Yeah, the TMI stories.
Oh, I had to think about that for a second. Yeah,
The TMI stories that are, you know... So, and, you know, that also brings up the fact that they want to be ahead of this whole TMI situation because they know that it's their own network that's doing this on purpose.
Right.
So they find this old HR claim that someone filed on behalf of Maggie because she, you know, Will yelled at her.
Right. Sweet Maggie.
Oh, Maggie.
Georgia.
Oh, that's right.
And Georgia. It's like, it doesn't matter.
You know, and we find out that, you know, it wasn't necessarily in a malicious way. He got frustrated because she made two really big mistakes.
And they were big.
And they were really big.
Yes, they were.
They were really big. Yeah. So, you know, we find all that out. So now they have the staff kind of digging into Will's past to see if there's, you know, if they can jump ahead of this and if there's anything, you know, that they can find out first to prepare them for these TMI stories. And then we have... where he was offered a late night talk show from Fox in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, went as far as a deal memo. And, you know, any of you, if you're familiar with the way entertainment contracts go or anything, there's a huge, long process when somebody's offered a job. So by the time you get to a deal memo, it's pretty serious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's almost done.
The deal memo is like right before you actually sign
the contract. You know,
right.
you know, you're putting in what you want, what they want, you're coming to terms and everything, and you're almost done.
Almost there.
So it's almost there. And at that point, we find out he was still with Mackenzie. They were still together at that time. You know, she was having her fling, but he didn't know about it yet.
Right.
Oh, and,
right.
You know, but he was planning to, you know, because this job was in Los Angeles. So, of course, he has a comeback for that. She finds out. She storms into his office and is making a case that he never had any intention of marrying her. And they were deceiving each other at the same time. And then he pulls out this ring.
I knew he was going to get a ring. I knew he was going to ring. By the way, as she was talking, I saw him reaching for
yes.
the key. I'm like, he's getting a ring.
Absolutely.
All right. And I knew it was going to be a Tiffany's ring.
Oh, really?
That's how you got to do it.
Right? It has to. Yeah.
Well, Will would do that. He would have a Tiffany's ring, right?
But yeah, the interesting thing about that is that from the beginning, I really thought he just had that.
Oh,
you know?
I was a little suspicious. You know? It was a few. Mm-hmm. Is he still keeping that really expensive ring in a top drawer at the newsroom? I don't know.
He probably looks at it every day.
Didn't he use a key?
Well, he used a key. It was a locked drawer.
But, still,
but you got to think, too, he's still harboring, you know, all of these feelings. He's still, which is obvious because, you know, we find out that he didn't have that ring. He actually went and bought it. it like that day or had somebody buy it for him in preparation for this conversation that he's going to have. So obviously he's still not all, you know, he's not.
It's a little off.
Not at all.
He rips up the receipt. He's like, I'm going to return it. And then he rips that up at the end and still doesn't tell his therapist that he did that. Mm-hmm. So maybe we'll see that ring again.
Maybe.
It's like moonlighting. You want to see them together.
Yeah. Moonlighting. I love moonlighting.
I had to bring that up because there's some moonlighting moments where you wanted him and Cybill Shepherd to be together, right? I feel like Will and Mac have that. Mm-hmm. The moments where you're like, you want them to be together. They have that thing.
I know.
They have that thing. But darn it. Well, you know, it's still early on. We still have some.
Yeah,
some
and he's so not over this at all.
No.
And I think in his mind somewhere in there, I think he's forgiven. He understands what she did after she explained it. He doesn't like it, but I think he gets it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he told the therapist, he goes, and don't tell me that I need to be over this because you don't know what it's like in my head. Mm-hmm. I actually really like that because sometimes other people don't get what may look like it's not that hard for some people. If that was the love of his life,
and
he has to see her every single day. He can't get over it if she's around.
Mm-hmm. Every day.
Yeah.
In his office, right there.
Right, but it's not like they had just broken up, though. They broke up, you know, 3 years ago before she came back in her, you know. So he's been harboring this for, you know, all of these years, and I think it's just fresh again since she's come back.
As soon as he sees her, it's almost like it brings everything back. And then she's so utterly charming.
Yes.
Isn't she the most charming? I think she's just, I mean, obviously as an actor, but just the character. Yeah. She's so lovable. Mm-hmm. And it's apparent when he watches her, he almost gets a kick out of her. You know, some of these things that she says, even in spite of himself, he's got to enjoy her, you know,
absolutely.
On some level because she's just so cute.
And I think it brings back why he fell in love with her in the first place.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Which is, you know, that in itself has got to be so challenging, especially because she is so smart. And, you know, great at what she does, and they're such a good team together.
Right.
That it's unfortunate that, you know, there's this whole kind of thing in between them.
That's what makes it interesting.
Yeah.
He still calls her his partner.
Yeah.
To his therapist. So,
So, you know, he actually sat for an hour and talked it all out with his therapist, which was great. You know, he talked about how bad he felt with the whole, you know, bullied. You know, the representative, and he felt bad about that. He felt bad about what happened with Sloane. He took responsibility for that because he was in a bad mood and felt that if he hadn't been,
hadn't said that to her, she wouldn't have taken what he said and run with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny how one person says something and it can affect a bazillion people, right?
Yeah.
Like somebody says something and somebody else acts a certain way and then it affects this person and it's such a trickle-down effect. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we saw a little bit more of a human side to him too, which we've been seeing gradually in every episode. Yeah. More and more how he's, you know, we know that he does care what people think. He doesn't want people to be afraid of him.
Right.
And, you know, I definitely can relate to something like that because sometimes when you're in a business where you have to be kind of harsh and straightforward, it's very easy to come across as scary and like a bully and things like that, even if that's not your intention.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it's really kind of hard to be able to make your point in such a way when you want to be taken seriously and not have, you know, to try to find that, balance.
You don't want someone to think, oh, this person's a brat or a bully or whatever. You want to do your job, but yet you don't want people to dislike you or think you're something that you're not.
Right. Mm-hmm. To have a misrepresentation. It's like, dislike me for what I am, but not for what I'm not.
Not for what I'm not. Exactly. You can dislike certain things about me, but I'm not a bully. And I'm not a bitch.
I'm not this. Right. If you want to dislike me for the things that I really am, what I really do. Right. Don't make stuff up.
That's good. That's good.
So please go to iTunes. Tell us what you think about this whole situation with Will and Mackenzie. I know we talk about this every week, but, you know, what do you think about the ring? Did you really think he had it? Did you think that, you know, what did you think about him going out to buy it? Because normal people do that, right?
Yeah.
To make their story. So please go to iTunes, download our podcast. It's free. rate and comment. It really helps us out. We like to know what you guys think of the show. Thank you so much to everyone who's already left comments about, you know, about the show. It's really great. It helps us. And also, Apple has come up with a new podcast app, which will let you, it's free. You download it on your iPad or your iPhone, and it organizes all of your podcasts for you, which is great, because if you like to watch multiple, you know, podcast shows, especially, you know, we have tons of great ones here, it organizes them all for you, and it's all for free. So please go and do that when you have a chance, and tell your friends, because we're number one this week and we want to stay that way. So thank you. Yes, it's
thank
exciting.
You. Yeah, girls. Thanks to all the people who listen.
Yes.
It's always nice to, I feel like, after a show to hear what other people say too, if you're like you're watching with somebody.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's fun. This is my first time like doing something like this.
Oh, really?
Not in my living room. and I love it because you can really, you're right there and like really talking about it. And it's when I'm done with the show, you know, I'm with my husband and my child who's asleep, and I'm like, oh my God, what about that moment? With, you know? And, you know, after a while, it's, you know, it's nice to talk to your husband, but it's nice to talk with a group of people who are so into it and who get it. And I love that.
No,
I
mean,
I love you, honey. It's great to talk to you. It's great to talk to you, but it's nice to talk to the girls too and get, you know, well, that's a nice what makes woman it, point of view.
Yeah,
too.
And that's what makes it so much fun for us too, is because we come fresh off of watching it. So everything's right
in
your
our
head.
Brain.
Yeah, and it's so great. And we, you know, we like for people to get involved too and let us know, you know, how we're doing, if there's anything that we missed, because there's so many things, and especially the way that Aaron Sorkin writes and the way that this show is done and directed, you have to keep looking around constantly.
You can't miss a beat.
No, you have to pay attention. You have to, you know, see the whole screen, because if you're just focusing on the kid, you miss what's in the background.
Yeah, because somebody else is doing something. Yeah. While someone's talking, someone's doing something, and you're like, oh, what's he doing back there? And then later on, usually it's significant.
Like, right.
Later on, usually it means something.
Absolutely.
It's never just for the hell of it.
No.
I don't think not with
no.
him.
Yeah. So, you know, and we get back into these relationships, and as, you know, you guys talked about earlier, we see a more, like, human side to Don tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think he's, you know, he shows that he's getting pretty insecure about, you know, Maggie and Jim's relationship. He feels like he's losing her. And he goes to Sloan, the worst person.
Yeah. Out of everybody in that office,
right.
He should have gone up to Neil or Mackenzie.
Yes.
Even Will, I think, probably recognized it.
Mm-hmm. I think he was ready to fire off that question at anyone who was around him at that moment.
Right. He looked like he was going to explode.
Yeah, he was just like, so am I losing her? You know?
Yeah.
Like, what?
Well, when he walked in, what did she say? Oh, if you're here to make me feel better, he's like, I'm not.
Yeah.
Yes. And then you're like, oh boy, he's going to be a dick. And then, boom. Then what he says, am I losing? What does he say?
Am I losing Maggie?
I'm losing Maggie. And then she's like, yeah, what?
Yeah.
And her reaction was genius, because she was so taken aback.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, here's this guy, my big producer, who was yelling in my ear, and all of a sudden he's vulnerable.
Right.
It's the first time you kind of see him vulnererable. Mm-hmm. I mean, not the first time, but
right.
He really expresses it to somebody else.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he asks, are you a good person that would, you know something like this? And she says, no.
No. How honest are these people? I love it.
Yes. Right?
It's great.
Well, and that was one of the things, too, that people had criticized the show about, is that everybody always says what's on their mind. How realistic is that? Well, I would love a place where people did that. I mean, that's what makes it so fantastic. That's one of the reasons why I really do like the show.
Yes.
Because they do say, whether right or wrong, what they're thinking
and
without all the BS.
And how smart they all are. Everyone says, oh, no one's that smart. But, you know, I also feel if you're in that industry, you damn well better be smart.
Right. Exactly. You have to be.
I believe that the people who work at those places are way smarter than me.
Well, they even it out with what they're, you know, Mackenzie's smart, but she messes up an email. Or I like the fact, actually, that Sloan today, she's super smart. She can do, you know, she can speak Japanese and she knows all the finance stuff. But then the big security guy goes in there and she goes, I just want to, like, touch his
hat. Yes!
Right. So it makes them very human and not so, like, you know, like robots. They're smart, but yet they have a human side to them.
Mm-hmm.
Or I liked Maggie today, where Jim goes to her, how are you even here with all of the stuff that she's messed up, and then you just see her be goofy, like, I dodged bullet.
Oh, right.
Yes. Well,
and Maggie's one who doesn't say everything that's on her mind. She keeps some of it to herself. Like, she can't admit her feelings necessarily for Jim in the office.
That's true.
To other people. But.
Yeah, she's the most insecure character out of all of them, I think.
Yeah.
She's, you know, because even Neil talk runs around the office screaming about Bigfoot. So, no. You know, people are not.
Don't you love him?
I do. I mean,
I just love him. He's just the best.
No, the inner office dynamic of everyone, I think, is really good. And you know, although it's a little bit exaggerated, I think for the most part it's pretty relatable. Yeah. You're around the same people for countless hours every day.
Right.
How can you not? You can't be serious and on point and textbook all the time. You just can't. That would just drive anybody crazy.
You have to have that humor, and that's what I love, is that in the middle of a serious moment, someone's saying something, and then someone will say, I don't know. I was trying to think of what Max said about the hound dogs, the ears.
They use them for scent while they're hunting.
That was random and out of the blue. She just threw it out there, and then they continue talking. I was like, I like that.
Yeah.
It's those moments that, they happen in life, too, where people say random things and you're like, what?
Right.
What? And I love how they have that on the show, the moments of the humor in the middle of the craziness, the seriousness. There's those like the bullets moment, love that.
Yeah, no, it's great.
And the Sloan did something, the sound effect, she couldn't
explain.
What did she do?
Because she was asking for,
she's like, I'm not asking for your help, because whenever you help, it's like,
an explosion.
Right. And Mackenzie's like, okay, I understand.
Yeah. Right. Fair. Yeah.
I like the relationship also now between Sloan and Mackenzie.
They have a good banter.
They have a great girl banter, and they're very different, and they get that, and they acknowledge it, and it's kind of fun.
Yeah, they understand each other in a very good, like, cool way, I think, which is great, because it's not very easy when you're, especially around a lot of women, when you're all like hungry and successful and like all of that, sometimes the strong personalities but they seem to mesh pretty well, and it's fun to watch them together.
And everyone to me becomes more, I keep saying this, but more human and I guess more likable. Some people will start out strong and you think that they're they're non-emotional, and now you see that everyone's vulnerabilities, you're starting to see everyone's vulnerabilities, like Don and Sloan, and I like that.
Exactly. No, that's great. Well, let's take a quick break, and then when we come back, we can talk a little bit more about you.
What you've got
going on, and then we'll get into a little bit of news and gossip and talk about what we think is going to happen next week.
Cool.
Hey there, good buddies. The handle's Wooly Bear. I'm a truck driving man, but I'm not that old school kind of truck driving man. No, I like to listen to podcasts while I'm driving through these great United States of ours. And my favorite podcasts in the world are from AfterBuzz TV. And why? Because AfterBuzz TV is like a post-game wrap-up show for all your favorite TV shows, like Jersey Shore, Dancing with the Stars, Mad Men, and a whole truckload more. I like listening to my Gossip Girl podcast, catching up with all my fellow fans and getting all the latest news and gossip. I got some strong opinions. And AfterBuzz TV lets me share those opinions with thousands of other listeners. Woo-wee, what a feeling. I used to doze off on those lonely stretches of road. And don't worry, I got the cruise control. But now I'm wide awake and listening to all the AfterBuzz TV goodness. Check them out. Give them a holler. And tell them the old Wooly Bear sent you.
Oh, that Wooly Bear. We love him.
Love the Wooly Bear.
So please tell us what's going on with you and your
kids. Well, first of all, just on a personal level, I'm getting ready to move to New York City.
Ooh.
I'm going to be bi-coastal.
Very
so,
nice.
Yes, my husband owns restaurants in New York. So as an actor, you can be in LA or New York. So we're going to be a bi-coastal family. We're going to be based in New York for now. So we're getting ready to move in a month. So whenever I see, when I watch Newsroom and I see, the outside of New York, I'm like, that's where I'm going to be. Aww. It pains me to leave beautiful sunny LA, I have to say. But I love New York, so I think I'll have the best of both worlds.
That's so great. I love New York.
It's a great city. I mean, they're both great cities. They're very different. And if you can be bi-coastal and live both, how lucky.
Exactly.
So
no, that's
I'm
great.
Very blessed. Yeah. Very, very blessed and excited. So, so it's actually been 1 year since all my children has left us.
Oh, wow. I can't believe it.
Almost, wait, what is it? Is it July? The end of July.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So not a year yet, like 11 months. Mm-hmm. And so since then, about 2 months ago, I got to do this beautiful film, and it's actually quite sad. I play a cancer patient, so I have to take all of this hair and wrap it up in a scarf, and it was based on a true story, and we shot it in New Jersey. I just wrapped it 2 months ago, a month and a half ago. It's called Lies I Told My Little Sister, and it's a story about sisters, and one of them dies. That would be my character. And but it's actually an uplifting story about this woman who died of cancer and tried to uplift her family about her disease. Mm-hmm. And she didn't want them to mourn her. She wanted them to celebrate her. So they had me in colorful scarves and colorful clothes. And all the way up until my character died, they had her uplifting her family, saying, mm-hmm. you know what, let's celebrate my life. Let's go live life. Let's have a drink. It was such a great character to play. Completely the opposite of all my children. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I'm you know, with the makeup and the hair, I'm on the soap. This was stripped down, no hair, real. And it was an honor to play this character because it was based on a real woman.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So it was great. You know, it was an independent film. Who knows what happens with these? It could go to film festivals. It could go to the theaters. It could be on TV. It's kind of a crapshoot, mm-hmm. but it was such a great project. So mm-hmm. I was really happy to.
Well, that's
to
great.
Be a part of it. Yeah.
Well, do you have a website and things where people can go and kind of check out and see what's going on with you?
It's AliciaMinshew.com. Mm-hmm. Very simple. And then I'm on Twitter. I think I'm Alicia. What is that underscore? Yeah. I'm like, what's that little underscore Minshew? So I just joined Twitter. I would say about 2 months ago, two to three months ago.
How do you like it?
I kind of love it.
It's so addicting, isn't it?
I fought it for a long time. I was like, oh, I just, you know, I have a 2-year-old too, mm-hmm. so you know, I'm, you know, mommy a lot, and it's, I'm like, I don't have time, but now. I'm like, hold on, I got change her diaper. I got to send a tweet. So in between changing diapers, I'm sending tweets, and
awesome.
I love it. Yeah. So I just started following you guys on Twitter.
Oh, great! Well, we'll make sure to tweet it out for everyone too.
I'll tweet
for
it all out. Of us. Yeah, I'm going to tweet about you chicks.
Yes, and we're going to tweet about you. But that's fantastic. Keep us posted on everything that's going
thank
on with
you.
You know, thank you so much for joining us.
This is so fun. What a fun thing. I could watch the newsroom with you girls every Sunday. This is great.
Come on.
I'm usually wearing my pajamas and I'm eating a bowl of cereal, so it's a little different. But yeah, I'll come back. It'll be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Before we lose you to the Big Apple.
Oh, God. I can just fly out here.
That's true. Yeah. Well, let's get into some quick news and gossip. I just have a couple of things I want to talk about.
TV news.
So I was reading this article about how HBO has been promoting Newsroom with out of context quotes, and I personally think that it is so genius of HBO's advertising department, because, you know, as we talk about every week, the show has been, you know, the journalists are attacking it. It's been, you know, getting attacked all the time, and one of the things that they, you know, they've been putting ads in like Variety and the Hollywood mm-hmm. Reporter, these big full page print ads, and one of the quotes that they used was they quoted the New York Times as saying, "Wit, sophistication, and manic energy, .. a magical way with words, .. a lot of charm," which is fantastic. But the original quote from the reviewer was actually a critical one. And she also wrote, "At its worst, the show chokes on its own sanctimony and suffers from the same flaw that it decries on real cable shows on MSN, NBC, or Fox News." She also wrote that Sorkin structured the drama the way that he did was probably a mistake. So it wasn't even a good review, but they pulled out.
Yeah,
which is
that.
Very technical because...
Sure.
You know, journalists do that all the time to their subject, you know, to their interview all the time.
Sure.
Take everything out of context to build their headlines, do their stories. Yeah. So on the part of HBO, I thought that this was genius. And there are some other ones that they did I thought was really, really funny. So if you have a chance, look that up because it's really funny.
That is
it's really
genius.
Funny.
Too.
I think it's genius.
Just take the good stuff. And
take the good stuff and, you know, attribute it to all these major, you know, which they actually said it. So they're not lying.
They're not lying.
Sparks more debate and we talk more about the show.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
And I don't know if you guys heard that the CNN chief, Jim Walton, is resigning from his post at CNN at the end of the year. And, you know, as I'm reading this article I read in the LA Times, it's, you know, saying that they feel like he's been doing this for 10 years and they want to take the news in a more, you know, in a different direction where they're talking more truth rather than, you know, kind of propaganda and going for ratings, which I just find very interesting in the wake of the show because, and some of the comments on this article were like, oh, are they trying to take, you know, cues from the Newsroom? Because they, you know, he even kind of said when he was,
that's
you know, announcing that. So it's pretty interesting.
It's almost like the Newsroom is affecting real stations and, and the way people really do things.
Well, I think that's why, too, some of the journalists are getting so up in arms about things is because, you know, and, you know, if you guys remember recently, unfortunately, that whole tragic thing that happened in Aurora and the journalist that went on air and accused him of being part of the Tea Party when it was somebody that had the same name but was a completely different person. And it just goes back to the mistakes that without doing your research and trying to get everybody in an uproar and the way that these journalists sometimes do to get more people to watch your network versus another, and you get into that whole ratings thing. Right. So I think this really does make people stop and think about what information that they're giving out to the public. Mm-hmm. Because that,
I could never be a journalist. I'd be too afraid I would trip up and just lie.
I know.
Not even on purpose, but just like say the wrong thing. I mean, so many people depend on it. So yay for journalists.
Yeah. No, it definitely is a tough gig, and anybody that is fortunate enough to be able to do that and have a great career in it is definitely doing something right. And a lot of it isn't necessarily their fault too, because as we see on this, there's so many people that make up what goes on the air.
Right.
So there's
a
lot of different factors, and you kind of get to see all the different things that have to be taken into account before you actually get the information, which I think is really interesting.
Yeah, this show definitely opens my eyes to the news, doesn't it?
Like, it does.
What goes on behind the scenes in there?
Well, and I was watching a promo on HBO, and it had all the actors from the newsroom, and they were talking about how different news is today versus the way it was even maybe 5 years ago. Mm. Because now, following people on the street and figuring out where they went to breakfast and what they had for lunch and who's having whose baby and all of that is now considered news. But by the mere definition of what news is, it's supposed to be something that you need to know, not something that you want to know. Mm-hmm. And now that whole line is gotten blurred. And, Dev Patel said, with all of his newfound fame, he finds it so interesting that the things that people want to know. Like, how is that new,
That was brought up in the show, too, with Will speaking to the TMI woman, saying, you're comparing us? Or, we're journalists?
Like,
Yeah, and that's funny, too, that it crosses, it makes sense for a TMI show, but you go on MSNBC and they're talking about Kristen Stewart and Robert Pattinson or CNN.
So very true.
Why
do
people who watch that need to know? People who watch, E or Access Hollywood, that makes sense to me.
That makes sense, too. No, there have been times where I turn on morning shows and I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
This is the Kardashians.
Or you see it on the bottom roll of CNN.
Oh, yes. Alert.
Yes.
So-and-so just changed her hair color.
Right.
Like, what?
And this is supposed to be our hardcore news station. Yeah. So that the whole entertainment.
Mm-hmm. And you used to say, oh, it's a slow day in the newsroom. But now it's like, no, that's hard.
That's what sells.
Right.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, let's get into some predictions and figure out what we think is going to happen next week.
Now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So we'll let our guests go first.
Oh, God, the pressure.
Well,
I saw the preview.
But what do you, from seeing what you saw, what do you think? From, if you could, just.
From the preview. Oh, sweet Jesus. Well, something's going down, first of all. They're about to face something that is huge, that's going to affect all of them there in the newsroom. Mm-hmm. And which we were talking about, maybe it was something about Bin Laden or them finding him, because it was something that happened in either April or May, correct? Mm-hmm. So, and I just think something big is going to happen like that, that's just going to affect all of them in a huge way. But in terms of relationships, I'm trying to remember what else I saw.
Well, what do you think is going to happen, just based on what this, six episodes in?
Oh, gosh. I think ultimately, for instance, I think Margaret's going to end up with Jim somewhere down the road. I think that Will is going to go back to his doctor, and I think seeing his, I feel like he gets something out of seeing that guy, and I feel like it's not the last time we're going to see him with his therapist, because it's a really interesting relationship, and he gets sleeping pills too.
Yeah,
so there's that, and. And maybe Sloan, I think, will have a newfound respect from some people, from Will, for standing up like the way that she did.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then something big's going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. What do you think, Kendra?
I'm going to piggyback off of the seeing the therapist thing.
Yeah.
And I think that is going to lead to Will and Mackenzie possibly reuniting.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least him being okay with showing that side of himself to her again.
Right.
And maybe a ring.
Maybe.
Put in a ring
like
on
that.
It.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. What do you think?
I think we're also going to probably... wasn't Lonnie the man who played him? He's going to be his security guard for a few episodes.
Terry Crews.
So he's going to have to play a huge role in Will's
developments and possibly with Mackenzie. I think we'll also see Don make a play for Maggie like never before. I think it'll be sad for me because I think he'll be more human. I'm very, you know, for Jim. And that'll be an interesting struggle. And then did we see the roommate, Lisa?
Yeah. We did see her.
So she's still in the picture somehow with Jim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did we see her this episode?
No, in the preview.
I don't remember her.
No, the preview.
Oh, of course. Right. Yeah,
it was a brief cameo, so I'm not sure how much that's going to mess up with that whole... It was a triangle, now it's a square.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Forgot about that.
So we see how that goes. Yeah. I don't know. I think maybe, you know, too, it might be a nice little twist if the therapy sessions actually help Will just get over Mackenzie. And then maybe that kind of dulls it out for a little while.
No.
You know? I mean, it could be the different way to go.
If you want the show to last, you can't get them together at the end of the first season.
You can get them together, then break them apart, and get them together. And
it's going to be moonlighting.
Yes. Yeah. You know, hopefully it'll go on and on, but, you know, maybe he'll get over a lot of things, you know, and maybe as we've thought before, maybe he and Sloan might have a little something-something going on, you know?
Ooh.
I don't know.
Forget about brother and sister. Brother and sister.
I think he's going to get over that protective
she's
thing.
She's too hot to be his sister.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us, and thank you for joining us.
Nice to hang out with the K's.
Yes.
With the K's.
You can find us on Twitter at AfterBuzzTV, and you can follow me at Kelly with an IE 079.
And you can find me at BFAN, FAN 2 TOCSE.
And I'm at Kendra Cabasel. It's KENDRA KABASELE.
And you know, I'm at Alicia_Minshew or AliciaMinshew.com. Yeah.
And don't forget to download us on iTunes tomorrow if you weren't able to catch the whole thing live. And we'll also be up on YouTube, and we'll be sure to tweet out all the links and everything. And thanks again for joining us. We'll see you guys next week.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.